What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Daniel A. Nelson Podcast Show. This is the place where we play and talk about the music you love. Look, today I have a very interesting young man on the line by the name of JT Robinson. JT, say hello to my audience.
Oh, how y'all doing?
All right, man. Look, I am excited because I've been knowing you all your life. And you have done some interesting things. And today we're going to talk about your upbringing and where you are today in life. And we're also going to just talk about, in your summation, what makes a great hit, because you have wrote a lot of songs for different people. So let's start off by telling me where you're from.
Yeah, I'm born and raised technically Torrance Memorial Hospital in L.A., but we was in Compton, California for a long time, and that's where I'm from. I got a chance to travel, and I lived in Ruston, Louisiana for about 10 years, from the age of 19 all the way to 29, about 30, and now I'm currently now living in Illinois with my beautiful wife.
Oh, that's cool. So you just recently got married then, huh?
Yes, I got married last year, September the 22nd. Had to do it quick because my uncle had an engagement he had to go to. Had a gig, and I had to have this. So.
Oh my goodness, man! You know what? I appreciate you inviting me and just let me play for you, man. Because the whole thing was, I know you guys had made a track and everything. Yeah. Tell artists what happened. Tell artists about your wedding.
Oh, yeah, that was very interesting. So we initially didn't want none of our family to work. We wanted y'all to just enjoy, because my family and her family, we always, whenever we go, we always end up working in some capacity. We said, nah, we don't want none of our family to work. So, I mean, I could have easily got a band beforehand, but we didn't want that to happen. But the playlist, someone didn't know how to work the playlist or something. And I don't know exactly what happened. They didn't know how to work the playlist, and they couldn't get it to work. And so the old school connection band showed up. My Uncle Daniel, my brother Godfather, my dad's best friend, Patrick, who's my brother's godfather, they ended up playing. And my brother, he had his drummer play the drum. So that was it. They came and did the music, and it was beautiful. It was great. We should have did it the whole time.
I was going to save that for last. And for those who are listening to this podcast, I know this is a fun podcast. This is nothing too serious, but I hope you guys will enjoy this because, like I said, this is my nephew, actually, everybody. And I don't want to dwell too much on the tragic part of your life, but tell them how I adopted you as a son.
Well, yeah, as far as I know, you've been Uncle Dad to most of us, because most of your nephews who do music, we came to you. I mean, outside of my father who did drums, that's who I had for a long period of my life. But when he passed in 2005, he was killed in a car accident. And when he passed in 2005, my uncle really, really stepped in more so with my music. But like, even before my dad died, my Uncle Dan, we call him Uncle Dan. It's called him Uncle Dan.
Step a little closer. Excuse me, JT. I'm sorry. Step a little closer to your phone. Or whatever device you're using.
Is it good right here?
Yeah, that's much better. Because, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, we call you Uncle Dad. All your nephews that do music especially call you Uncle Dad, because he was always spewing wisdom. He was always coming from the book of Proverbs. But you was also very influential in our music. And you gave all of us a chance. And me, you was the first person to give me as a writer, took me very serious and gave me a chance. And so even before my dad's passing, he was already influential in that way. And then when my dad passed, he was very much more so influential. And so, once again, that's how, and I think that's how it should have been anyway, because, my mama needed help raising two sons. And Uncle Daniel was like, I can do this, and, you know, or I can do that. And he was very much just stepping in and gave me my first type little summer job. I was detailing cars with him. I learned a lot there. And some of those skills still help today. When I need a job, I go and put that on the application.
Okay, this is much better. Yeah. The reason why I wanted to do this podcast with you is because this is a little bit different. Usually I ask questions about what makes a great hit, and we are going to talk about stuff like that. But because of the tragic situation that happened in your life and how you have overcame a lot of that, and you're working heavy in the music industry, you know, I'm not saying your household name as of yet, but that's fine because you're still making a living. You're doing it for a living.
Yeah.
And I want the audience to know that whatever situation that has transpired in their life, that they can be overcomers in the industry or in whatever they're trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why I had you on here. I know we don't have to do it long. We can do a part two the next time and really dial into the music. But now, while we're on that note, though, how old were you when you first started playing drums or piano or the other instruments that you play?
Drums, probably two. A lot of folks say that answer, but it's very true. At drums, my dad was very proud because he was like, look, I ain't teaching him how to hold the sticks or not. He holding the sticks correct already. And I was very young, like could barely grip a full stick, but I had the right grip. And so he was very proud of that. And so that's two. But piano, I really started gravitating towards piano because of my Uncle Daniel, because of you, honestly, because you're the only piano player I would see outside of my granddad playing the organ. But I would gravitate towards the piano. And I wrote my first song, and not a lot of chords or anything. My very first song, I wrote it, I was probably less than six. I say six, I think I was less than 6 years old. It was just two notes, C and D. That was it. So that was like 6 years old. And then I always like creating. And so learning other songs was fun, but I always loved creating. That was my biggest thing. I love creating.
So now, at this age right now, I know you're about 32, 33, somewhere around there. What is your writing process?
Oh, man, it's different forms. So,
you don't have a set goal. You don't do like, I'm going to do a drum track and then I'll play a piano or I'm going to write.
It depends, because if I sit down and say I'm going to write, then it's more of a let's get my tempo together first, or maybe let's get a melody, and it really because I can play on multiple instruments, it's depending on what instrument I'm on. My singing is also an instrument, so there may be times when I'm just in the quiet place and I just start singing. Then I say, hold on, let me go back. That was nice. Let me record that, and then I get on the piano and compose according to what I say. Then there's times when I'm on a drum set and I may want to make up hits, like drum hits and drum licks, and so I start humming stuff in my head while I'm playing, and then I say, let me go back and actually make that something.
Okay, you know. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So, and then there's different forms. And so sometimes, like I said, sometimes I may start freestyling singing and then I write around that music-wise, or I may compose the music and then I write according to the music.
Okay. So I want to ask you this. When you're writing, are you writing from the heart or are you writing to make a hit song?
Majority is from the heart. Majority is from the heart, because even if I start out trying to make something that people would like more than I would like, I can't write about something I have not experienced. And so even lyrically, like the beat can be a trap beat. I'm not a trap person. But the beat can be a trap beat, and I can start humming. And I can get a melody that people would love, but the content is gonna be me. It's gonna be my experience, my understanding, and I think that's dope. you know, being able to, because people listen to melody first, yeah, and then they listen to content later. It's all about the melody that they, or the vibe that they, as they say, they get the vibe of the song first, and then after the vibe, they start saying, wait, what are you saying? Because this song go too hard, or whatever they say. And so I can do either or, but I'm a person that like to have context with everything they write. That's just, okay, that's who I am.
All right. In your 33 years, have you seen the music being transformed? And in what fashion has it transformed, for the better or for the worse?
I can't really say for better or for worse.
Okay.
I can say as a musician, I have seen the transformation go from needing to be a musician to not needing to be a musician at all.
Okay.
And so in that regard, it may be somewhat worse, because the appreciation for musicianship is probably like, we don't need that in the studio no more. But at the same time, when you take a musician and put them in the same environment as someone who knows how to move stuff over in piano roll or whatever they use, you take them and put them in the same environment, give them the same skills, they got a leg up, because I understand the musicality part of it, the musical theory portion of it, as well as the production of it. And so it depends on how you use your tools at this point.
Okay.
And as musicians, sometimes we get stuck in, I don't want to say in the past, but we get stuck in our ways. No, man, I want to get back to the heart of the music when we're playing stuff out, and that's not a problem. But if we can progress as well as like learn the production portion, as well as keep our authentic music with it, we can capitalize.
Okay. This question is, I know there's no right or wrong answer to this question, but do you feel that the reason why a lot of people are not using bands too much to record, is it because of the cost of the engineering and that they're on a pocket budget type of situation?
Possibly. So when you look at a lot of the new stars and in the R&B and hip hop world, a lot of them are kind of indie, or you know, and so if they can get one producer that can make all the music,
yeah,
I can pay you for one beat, or I can pay you and you're one person, one entity, and then I don't have to worry about a record label and paying them back, and then they have their team, they have their guy, and so it is overall cheaper, and at the same time it's less time as well in the project.
Okay.
It can be less time in the project.
And explain to my audience what indie means, just in case.
Independent, like out of your pocket, you the one. So okay. You, and so a lot of folks start off indie, and that's how the record companies nowadays, they look at you. They look at your social media, your following. Okay. And because you gotta understand, like, music has changed drastically in this one aspect, far as the promotion.
Okay.
I remember 50 Cent said this. He says, when you used to look at an artist, you said, man, what happened to them? They were so big. You saw them everywhere. And he said, that wasn't necessarily them being big. It was more so them having the backing of the record label, and they were pushing them and promoting them. But promotion has become something that you do yourself, which is true. Because now you tag, you get on social media, you jump on there, you tag your stories, and so it's all you. And so what companies are looking at now, they're looking at your foot. Like your imprint, what have you left behind? How many followers do you have? And so, because your followers are your consumers, so you got over 1 million followers, we can get behind that and give you a little extra push, a little extra money, some advances here and there, because based off of what we see in your numbers, you can get it back to us. And that's how they do. That's how the game has changed. And so it's different now because for people who kind of like me, who just want to spend their time making the music, you got to get in front of a camera and show them your process. And then, okay, but you don't want to feel like doing all that. But in order to gain the numbers and gain the clout or whatever, you got to get in front of people. And it's, you know, that's why a lot of folks don't have to be good. They just have to be consistent.
So, well, you know, I'm not going to make this about me. I guess I better brush up. That's the first thing.
Me too. I definitely got to get on that.
But I was going to ask you this, though. You mentioned the consistency, and your talent can be, I hate to use the word mediocrity, but you can be at a decent level and get that type of following?
Yes, absolutely.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, if I be honest, and this is going to sound arrogant for some people, but the truth of the matter is, I'm not going to use me. Everyone knows someone that may be homeless or someone that may not be, that may be working behind a desk that sings better than the majority of the artists out now.
Yeah.
Or that can rap better than some of these rappers now.
Right.
That can make a beat better than some of these people now, but they're not doing it. I know a truck driver right now that's killed. He's a beast. But he's consistent. He's consistent. But my point is, he's better than a lot of people that's actually popular now. But the difference is they're consistently in your face.
Okay. So let me ask you this. I've asked this question to a few people on a few episodes way back when. We look at the American, American Idol and The Voice and shows like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm a little older than you, JT, of course. but, you know, my artists were like the Temptations or the Rick James and people like that, James Brown. And I know you like those artists, but here's my point. Here's my question. Do you think that those guys would have made it on American Idol or The Voice? I mean, you know.
I think the Temptations would have did decent. James Brown, no.
James Brown,
I don't know neither. I think James Brown would have made it in America's Got Talent because the dancing, along with the showmanship and the stage presence. But at the same time, it's almost unfair to even use pioneers like that or really foundations of what music has become now, because without them being already in place, we don't get to where we are.
Okay, and that's where I wanted to go with it, because you had mentioned something about showing your skills on the social media platform and things of the nature, and I believe most of the world has a phone. It doesn't matter where your financial status is.
Yes.
And you can get on social media. So the work is a little bit easier, and I'm guilty of not doing it.
Yeah.
But I'm just looking at the hustle and the hard work that they say, hey, we're going to do this, and because we love doing this, first of all, and the money, yes, I would love to make a living doing this, but I believe that was the ultimate goal, because it was just embedded in their soul, what I do. So I just wanted to get the difference, because, you know, I'm a fairly young man, and you're a very, fairly young man, and we don't have to give our age if you don't want to.
We are getting our age. Okay. That's so much like you was 39, 95.
Yeah, I was 39, yeah.
So I think the tax went up with a lot of inflation.
Yeah. Yeah. So like I said, I'm a 60s baby. And you were born in the what, 80s, right?
90s.
90s.
The early 90s, like
yeah,
right
early 90s.
I kind of relate to some of the 80s, but because I listened to 80s stuff.
We talked to you a lot, JT. You know, in all honesty.
Taught me all the good stuff, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, you know, and you guys got old souls. But look, I'm not going to tie you up all day. We have to do a part two, because, like I said, I want to just let my audience know that people can make it through, you know, certain tragedies that might happen in their life. And I know that the passing of your dad, his life was cut short. He was actually, I hate to use this word, but he was actually killed in the car crash.
Yeah.
You know, and his life was cut short. So, you know, but how you guys persevered in not only the entertainment, the music business, whether you decide to be, you know, whether the good Lord bless you to be household names or whatever the case may be, you guys are still writing and doing music. And I know that, you know, he's looking on you guys, and I know he would be very proud of you and your brother. And I just thank you, man. So let me ask you this question before we get off the line. What does your 2024 look like?
2024, I got to finish a project with my uncle. I've been waiting on my voice to get back because I got all the writing done. I actually had it done in 2023, but then the files got lost, so I got to redo it. That's one thing. But then I'm working on some projects for my wife and finishing up some stuff for myself. And I think my mother want one too. So I'm in high demand within my immediate family. And then other stuff. Then I hope to venture out a little bit more too as well. So 2024 looks busy, and I just got to get in front of y'all faces more so y'all can know who I am. But I'm going to tell you this too. I always wanted to be behind the scenes. I always wanted to be behind the scenes because there's a lot of hassle sometimes. Like I just wanted to do the part that I love. And I started watching the R&B Money podcast, and I started listening to people that I knew of because I knew who they were behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And they said before I can be comfortable behind the scenes, I have to be up front uncomfortable. And so still gotta do the work.
Yeah.
Got to work.
Yeah. Well, man, I appreciate you, nephew, for just taking your time out. And we will do a part two.
Yes.
And this year, I'm just letting my audience know, you're going to be hearing more from JT Robinson. He's going to be on my show more than twice because we have a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Nephew, I want to thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. And blessings to you. Say hello to that beautiful wife of yours. And we will be talking soon.
Yes, sir.
All right. God bless you, man.
God bless you, too.